Well, good morning to all of you. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and he said this. This is a word for us as well. He said this. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." In case you haven't got the point, again I say,
rejoice.
And the message this morning is we can praise God even in the hard times. But the challenge is, of course, it's hard to praise him in the hard times. But he does say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. And how do we do that? Why do we do that? Well, we can follow this story. You'll find it in Acts 16 with Paul and Silas on mission and about a jailer. And we can learn and be taught how we can rejoice in the Lord always, even in the hard times. So, in our story, there's Paul and Silas, and they are on mission. This is what happens a bit later. They're speaking about Jesus. They're telling about the way to be saved. In actual fact, we're all on mission, as Paul said, because we're on mission wherever we are, in your family, with friends, in your wherever you are in the week, you know, a workplace, a school, a college, in a club or group, the neighbours who are near you, or you might meet, in my case, with walking a dog. And we're on mission. But also we send people out on mission as well, like we've had to Japan and Brazil. And there we've got a role as a church, haven't we? That you're either being sent out or we send them out. And we send them out with our love, our prayers, our money and support. But here's the reality of living as a Christian. Here's what it's like to be on the front line. And we're all on the front line in different ways. You will get hard times. You know, what do you do when you're teased for being a Christian? When there's problems between people? When you're in pain or ill? Can you praise God in those circumstances? Well, here we have that Paul and Silas, they free a slave girl from an evil spirit. They're then wrongly accused that they're causing great trouble. And they are taken and beaten with rods. Just picture that a moment. Your back is stripped, rods come along and thud, thud, and they don't stop. What would your back be like? How much pain would you be in? The bruises, the uncomfortableness. But there's worse to come because they're then taken to a Philippian jailer. Jailers were always cruel, hard, tough people who would be in charge. And he's put them into the most inner cell, right in the centre, and he had them put into what's called stocks. This is not stocks and shares, you know, nice things. This is, your feet are shoved in this device, put apart. You know, this wouldn't be advertised in, you know, the hotel that you will need to stay in. You will get a lovely night's sleep. Oh no. Try and sleep in that position. Try and be comfortable. This is what they were this is what's happening to them. They're going through these hard times. Yet, as you can see in the picture on our screen, they are praising God and praying to him in their cell. I'll read you the verse. It's about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. That's amazing, isn't it? That's not the kind of thing I think I would be doing in that situation. But they did it. And they want to speak to us. And I want to try and draw out, well, why did they do that? How did they do that? Well, why did they do that? We're not told in the passage, but there's a lovely verse tucked away in the end of a book called Habakkuk. I'm just going to read to you two verses, Habakkuk 3, 17, 18. And they answer the question, why do we praise God in hard times? Why do we rejoice always in him? It says this, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the hills. They, of course, lived in a time when you lived on the farm. So that's basically your whole world has fallen apart. Everything has crashed around you. And what do you do in such circumstances? Then it says, the writer, yet I will rejoice, one, in the Lord, and two, I'll be joyful in God my Saviour. And whatever our circumstances we are in, however hard they are, we can still rejoice in the Lord who is the Supreme One and in the Saviour. And that's the reasons why. Let's follow those reasons why. You can always rejoice in the Saviour. Do you know and love, as many people do, if you open your Bible about in the middle, you'll get to Psalm 103, or nearly there, and you get these words. Praise or bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So what we do is, what Paul and Silas do, they recall the Lord saves and the benefits. And he names some of those benefits. Who forgives all your sins, and you say, praise God for that. Heals all your diseases. He promises that he may heal now, and we should pray to him for that. But he guarantees when we die and when he raises from the dead, we'll be totally free from all sickness and suffering. I go into care homes to do magic shows there, and you see people struggling along. I was one in there recently, and I said to this lady, you used to hop, skip and jump, didn't you? And she's struggling along with one of these wheelie things. But you know what the Christian can say? I will hop, skip and jump in the Lord's presence. My body will be all restored. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. So he's the Saviour, so we can praise him. When you are persecuted and under attack, being teased at school or work or being snubbed or pushed out because you are a believer, you can still praise the Saviour. And if, you know, there's people problems, I have a saying, wherever there is people, there is problems. That's the sad reality. You know, why are there so many problems in this world? It's because people fall out with one another. Things go wrong. And it goes wrong in our circle at times. But you can still praise God because he's still saving you and he's still saving others. And you might be in pain of sickness and have real anguish. You know, I have a pain like I've never had before. My shoulder went and totally froze, had pain. I couldn't sleep at night. After a few days, I didn't know what sleep was. And it was just terrible. And yet God says to me, as a challenge, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why? Because he's still saving. He's still forgiving. He's still freeing. He's still in his family. And we can say also, he's with us. The great message of Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. But it's the Saviour who's with us. Jesus the Saviour who saves his people from their wrongs and sins. And so we can say, when we walk through the dark valleys, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. He walks with me even in the valley of the shadow of darkness of death. And his rod and staff, they comfort me and strengthen me. And he leads me too into green pastures. It's not all hard times, is it? But he's with us as the Saviour. And we can drink that in. And we can rejoice always. There's a second reason for rejoicing. We had that he is the Lord. He is the Supreme One. He's in control. Everything is in his plan, the way we don't understand, but it's there. For instance, to quote Proverbs 16, verse 9, which has been very precious to me in recent months, we make our plans, but the Lord directs our footsteps. Or Ephesians 1, 11, God works out everything, there's not one thing missing, in his plan. And for the Christian, we add to that, he works everything for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And the good is that we're going to be made more like Jesus, conformed to his image. God is good, and he wants to bring that good to us. Isn't that wonderful? Now, have you had the experience where you've been looking at a picture close up? It could be on a computer screen or a device, or it could be a real painting. If you go up right up close, all you'll see is pixels or blobs of paint. It will just be a mess. And you know, this is just a mess. Stand back, and what do you see? A picture. Now, For us, we're often just seeing just the pixels, just the blobs. We don't know how it all fits together for good. Get God's picture, which of course we can't get because he's great and infinite and above and sees all things and works all things together. He can see the big picture. They're being made more like my son Jesus in this. And he sees that. And so we can say, God is great and I won't understand how all things work together. But God is good and I trust him and I walk with him. And I can keep praising him, therefore, that he is in control. The universe is resting not on my shoulders, but his. And that's a good place to leave your own universe too. So how can we do this? That's the wise. We rejoice always in the Saviour. We rejoice in the Supreme One. But how can we do that? Well, Paul and Silas give us a really good, helpful tip. That is, it's not that you do it in the middle of the night, though you can do that. It's they were praying and singing hymns. So doing two things here. They're doing it together and they're singing. As well as they're talking in prayer, but they're singing. Together and singing. And Sunday by Sunday, you can meet and sing to the Lord. And you may be having a very hard time, but it's something very helpful about coming together and singing praises to God, isn't there? And singing our prayers. In other words, that you couldn't even choose yourself. You pick. You know, the Lord gives and takes away. Blessed be your name. And you praise and it speaks to you and it speaks to one another. And there's something about the music that moves our hearts and helps us. And you don't get that on your own. There's something special about being together and praising and singing together in that. So let's keep doing that. I love being at Sunday worship. I've got to say, when we had to meet online, and when we had to come and then we meet and we couldn't sing, we had masks on, I just wanted to burst out and sing, didn't you? And sing together. Because we're to the Lord and to one another. So it's good to meet and sing together. But also did they have a mobile phone? I know I'm out of chronology there. But, or a book with them to say, right, let's turn to number 103. Now, there was nothing. Where did they get their singing? How do they know the words? From their memories, didn't they? They were sung lots of times on their Sabbath day, and they must have committed to memory songs, and they pour out. Do you know when Jonah was in the whale's stomach? He prays all psalms, words from the psalms. They feed into his life at that point. And there's something special about singing songs that you can, on your own, that you know. Now, you might not be able to do that so easily, but you can sing along to a CD, sing along to a mobile phone. And you could do that. Or how about actually learning songs? And you might over time learn them by ear, but making an effort and learning them yourself. I'll get a book, I'll get a phone, I'll sing that this week, and I'll learn it. And you say, I can't learn things. Well, can I just speak to you young people a moment? All you young people, can I tell you something? Your brain is at the best time of your life. Do you know that when you get to about age 20, your brain cells start going. And you can't remember things as well. And you can't do things. And then you get what's later called the senior moment, where you go into another room or upstairs and you can't remember why you were going. And you have to go, it's because the brain cells are going. And you talk to older people and they say, oh, it was easy for us to remember things when we were young. You know, 7 times 7 is? And it was the older people who said it. Because they knew it, they learnt it. And so can I urge you, sing songs, remember Bible, because it will stay with you for the rest of your life. And when you get into the hard times, bump, the songs will pop in. Now, you older people, can you still learn things? You say to me, well, an old dog cannot learn new tricks. I've got news for you. You're not a dog. So you can learn new things. It might be a bit harder, but you can do it. You can keep singing those songs, and particularly you can feed off all that reservoir and well. You can draw on the waters and joy of salvation and feed them. But let's just test this, that you can learn things. You know, let's just test this a moment. Faithful God, what comes next? Can you go further? Ageless One, Rock of Peace, Lord of all. And that can, you can sing it. You can feed it. Let's try another one. I said it earlier, but you go a bit further. You give and my soul, and you give and take away, still my soul will, blessed be your name. Actually, did you notice I had to start singing it to remember it? Because you see, the words and the music, they go into your heart and your memory and they stay there, just easier than words. That's why God's wired us. So learn those songs. Let's try one more, shall we? Because we just rejoice in that the Lord is supreme. He gives and takes away. And what do? We still bless his name. Rejoice in him. Try this one. See if you can carry on with this one. And I won't sing it, but I'll try and sing it a bit. My Jesus, my Savior. Can you carry on? None like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. See, you can learn songs, can't you? Keep doing it. But more to the point, in the good times and the bad times, call upon those songs and rejoice in the Lord, like Paul and Silas did. There's more of the story to go, though, isn't there? And there's a great bit of the story, because they've all been released from their stocks, and all this, there was an earthquake, all the God brings, all the cells are opened, the prisoners could escape. The jailer goes, serious gulp. Because his life is under death threat now. The Romans had a very good way of, you work well. If you didn't do your job well, you just were executed. So you didn't want to be in this situation. He's frightened for his life. But Paul cries out, we're all here. It's okay. But what does the jailer do next? Well, Paul and Silas have been speaking about the way to be saved, we're told. And what does the Philippian jailer do? May his words that you may be well known to you. He comes before Paul and Silas, and he falls down trembling before them. He's trembling, fear and scared. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? It's such an important question. Lurking in that question was probably, well, save me in this terrible mess I'm in right now. But there was a deeper question. He was trembling. He felt guilty. He knew he'd mistreated prisoners. He knew he'd done wrong, and he was guilty before God. And that's all of us. We all mistreat God. We all mistreat other people. The jailer did it in a cruel way. But we can say a bad word of someone. We can think a bad thought. We can lose our temper. We can get in a rage. We might even hit people at times. Or we do it with words. And we can have mistreating God in that we can, you know, live as if God didn't matter. And that we can say, not give thanks to God for all the blessings of this life. And we don't want to live under his good rule. And just want to live for ourselves. And just push God out, mistreat him in that way. And that's bad news. And that's what the jailer was feeling. Do you feel that too? But then, of course, there's this wonderful, wonderful answer. Paul and Silas say back, or the answer to, what shall I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. No ifs, buts, no maybes. You will be saved if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful good news, isn't it? There is a way of salvation, a way of rescue. And Paul wrote elsewhere these words. I think we had these same words a while ago, actually, I remember. From Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'll read it again. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How, you say, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, but about him, that he is Lord, that he is the supreme one over all. He's to be the boss and master of your life and everyone's life. He's the judge we'll have to face one day. He's the supreme one. But he's also the saviour. He died and he rose to save. All the way we've mistreated one another, and all the way we've mistreated God, Jesus took at the cross all of that. He was made guilt and wrong and sin for us, even though he knew none of those things himself. And he rose from the dead, conquering death and saying, I can come to you now, I can forgive you, I can wash you clean, I can take away the fear of death and give you so much more. We sang, you know, how precious, Lord, is your love. In your light, we see light. There's an abundance in you, in your house, and you're in the family of God. And all these he wants to give you. But the question is, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved? And there's three responses you can make, and you're in one of them. So which one are you this morning? You can say, yes, I believe. I do. I believe. I've put my trust and my commitment in him. And just a bit more on that. Because what is believing? What is faith? It's not just saying, oh, well, this is all nice things or it's all true. There is that. But there is that you actually trust yourself and you're committed yourself. I remember vividly learning to ride a bicycle. Some of you younger ones doing that? Can you remember doing it? I remember the time also when I had to be let go by my dad. And he said, just go. There was a place called East Sheen. There was a bank. I went down, so I had a bit of a boost to start with. And then I went down this flat plain. But I had to get on the bike. I had to believe and trust that this bike will work. And I had to go for it. And it worked. I know there's a balance as well. But then you have to commit to say, what if you said, oh, this is just great. I sit on this bike. How far are you going to go? Nowhere, are you? Because you have to pedal too. There's a commitment you have to make. I say, I trust and I commit myself to following the Lord in my whole life, all the days of my life, however hard or easy it is. I'm going to follow him like riding my bike. Is that you? Yes. Well, then you're being saved. You're being forgiven. You are in this family. You're being freed from what's wrong and being free to put what's right in your life. You can know joy in the Lord in all circumstances. And so much more. But what? That's first response. Your second response can be, no, I don't believe. This isn't for me. Or at least not yet. Just hear this though. You're missing out on what life's about, which is to know God and to enjoy him and honour him and know his blessing and to live for him and know the hope that he can beat death, that he can be with you in life. To being in the family of God. You're missing out on all those blessings in this life. And because if you keep on rejecting him, he will say, I don't know you either. And you'll be cast away from him into eternal dread and punishment. Do you really want that? Turn to him while you can. Seek him. Forsake your wrong ways. Trust in him. But maybe you're in a third, the yes, no, but maybe you're a maybe. I want to know more. That's a good place to be as long as you do know more. You know, you could ask mum or dad or a friend, what's this about believing Jesus? And how do I do it? And I've got some questions. Or you could read John's Gospel or part of the Bible or listen to it. Or you can watch videos or go to a course. Just come and ask Jamie or others. Seek and find the Lord while he may be found. But can I say also, some of you have been Christians many years. You might have heard this message many times. But can I say, you still only saved by believing in the Lord Jesus. It's not about what you have all done in your life. It's that you've believed, and from your belief and your faith and your trust in him flowed those good deeds. But it's your faith that saves you from beginning to end. And you know why? Because we keep on sinning and keep doing wrong. If you were to go on your mobile phone, mine's here, and I was to type a message in here, WhatsApp, and then I go to the Argyle WhatsApp, and I'm going to type in, see you on Sunday. Oh no, I've made a mistake. You and I are next door to one another in our QWERTY keyboards. What have I just typed? See you on Sin Day. Not Sunday, Sin Day. And the reality is, even Sunday can be a sin day. It will be. You and I need forgiveness this day. Maybe it's you've fallen out with someone this morning. Maybe in the worship you've been thinking thoughts that you should never, and you know you should never have thought them. But your heart's not been in it. We all need the Lord. But the good news is keep on believing in him and you will be saved. He keeps washing you clean. He keeps renewing you and you will be saved. And then we can keep on rejoicing in him. What was the reaction after the Philippian jailer was saved? And note to his family and his servants, his household. God loves that whole families be saved. He loves that. Oh, it was so, more and more. And then the Philippian jailer brought them out, cleaned them up, gave them some food. And then he was baptized. He was showing he had that trust and commitment. He'd been washed clean and made new and in his family. And then we're told that he and all those who were with him had believed were filled with joy. They could rejoice because they were being saved by the Lord. Now, full circle. We began with rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, which is Philippians 4 verse 4. Oh, it's written to the church in Philippi. Where are we in our passage? We're in Philippi. The church that was told to rejoice began with joy. And where was that joy? It was in that the Lord is supreme and that the Lord saves. What is this message all about? It's when there are hard times, we can rejoice in the Lord who saves and who is supreme. Do it by singing. Do it by other ways. And most of all, keep believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved and therefore keep rejoicing in him. And we all want to say, Amen, which means, oh, yes.